this morning to study the Word of God, to be able to think on things of matters of eternal importance. We're thankful for the good crowd that we had this morning, for all of our visitors. I'm thankful for on Wednesday night for prayers on my behalf to preach the gospel in Grand Mary as they're going through their summer series. For Jeff Geary for teaching the Bible class on Wednesday night. For Brian Geary doing the invitation. I'm sure that all were edified and encouraged and strengthened in their faith. We're thankful for men that are able to step in on a moment's notice to be willing to preach the word, to teach classes, to give invitations, to encourage and to preach the soul-saving message of the gospel of Christ. As we are continuing in our daily Bible reading program, we had noticed concerning Solomon's life and had studied about Solomon's life in the past week, and now we're going through the book of Proverbs as we're trying to do it, I guess, in a chronological order. And Proverbs is a very practical book, and to realize that we think about this vast universe that God has created, and yet we think about even the tiny creatures that we can learn from and must learn from if we are a sluggard. As we consider the sluggard can learn from the ant. In Proverbs chapter 6, in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, the scripture says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers a provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man." You think about that passage of Scripture, recognizing that school's out for summer, and the temptation is to be lazy, irresponsible, and maybe watch TV all day or just be on the internet all day and not be responsible as a result. We recognize we live in a society where the temptations are to be lazy and, you know, with the movies that are out there and the TV shows. If you read the comic strips, they appeal to the lazy person, don't they, sometimes. When you think about Christians, we can't live that way if we're going to go to heaven one day in the after while. So hope and pray that as we study this lesson, we'll examine the characteristics of the sluggard and the ant. And say, well, you know, sure, the preacher, it's easy for the preacher, but I'm talking to myself too as far as you think about this wicked society in, and I'll just kind of check out from society because it's so wicked. We can't do that as Christians. We are to be salt and light in this world of sin. So we're going to notice some comparisons between the sluggard and the ant, first of all. First of all, as you notice concerning the sluggard, he's hinged to his bed. We looked at that passage in verses 9 and 10. You go to chapter 26. We'll go to chapter 26 where it specifically mentions that. In chapter 26 in verse 14, the scripture says that the door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. You have this idea concerning this individual. The door is turning on its hinges, and here the slugger is turning back and forth on his bed. You think about the slugger. Maybe it was you this morning. He'd keep on hitting the snooze button, right? I just need a little bit more sleep, a little bit more sleep. But it's sort of like a never-ending thing whereby he continually needs that sleep. In chapter 19 and verse 15, all the passages you're going to notice here, I'm not going to have Proverbs by it, but it's all going to be from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 19 and verse 15 says, "Laziness cast into a deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger." You think about a sluggard, an individual like that. He is useless for any labor. We're saying, to the work, we are servants of God. But here the sluggard is not going to be a servant for the Lord. He just wants more sleep. You think about, there's so much talk about those who are zombies today. We can talk about those who are living zombies who are asleep. who are not awake to do the will of God. And he is left hungry as a result. You notice one thing as you look upon the ants. You know, they're really busy right now. You think about all those ant hills that are out there. You think about the fire, those fire ants. And here are the ant hills and all the tunnels. And you see them all diligently working, don't you? They're all active, as we looked at that in chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. In chapter 30, the scripture says, four things are small on the earth, but they are exceedingly what? Exceedingly wise. So you look upon the sluggard as being foolish, and you have a lot of words about those who are foolish in the book of Proverbs, and talking about the wise. And here he mentions concerning these creatures are exceedingly wise. Verse 25, the ants are not a strong people, but they prepare their food in the summer. Well, that's a rebuke to the sluggard, isn't it? The sluggard who is inactive, who is lazy, who isn't doing anything, while here are the ants who are busy and active and working as they're preparing their food in the hot summer. They're working day and night. Think about their colonies, and you look at them all working together. You notice concerning the sluggard, he is lethargic. He wastes a lot of his time that he has. In chapter 26, verse 15 and 16, we read verse 14 a moment ago. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is weary of bringing it to his mouth again. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. Well, obviously, you look upon this as hyperbole, as you imagine concerning a lazy person. He is so lazy, he can't get the food in his mouth. He's starving himself. And the whole thing is, concerning his lifestyle, you tried to talk to the sluggard about working, about laboring. You say, well, I've got it made in the shade. You ever work with an employee who is a sluggard? What is he doing? He's talking all the time. He's not working. He's not being productive. And the ones who are being productive had to take his responsibility if he isn't fired. And so here is this lazy individual. He's wasting time. He thinks he's wise. He has an opinion, and it's obviously much better than your opinion about anything, right? That's the way he thinks about himself. Later, tomorrow, or someday are his favorite times to get things done, which is basically never. Think about concerning that way of life, and we're told in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7, to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge who? Oh, that's just myself. No, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. What has He directed the path of the sluggard to? He's directed His path to the ant, who is active and is working day and night, while the lethargic one is wasting his time. Look at the ants. They never quit. When they're on the trail for food, they don't let any obstacles stand in their way, do they? Here are the obstacles, and they'll walk around it. They'll go through it. They'll go over it. Whatever the obstacle is, they aren't going to just say, well, we quit. We give up. No, they're going to work until they achieve their outcome. You ever stepped on an anthill and see what happens? Oh, they're done. Well, obviously the ones that are dead are done. The ones who are alive are still going to be working no matter what. And the whole thing is that they don't even receive a paycheck. They don't receive a reward. They don't receive a promotion. We think about concerning, well, you have incentives. And here they do it without any reward. No matter what the obstacle is, a rebuke of the sluggard. You look on the sluggard, he's unmotivated. He hates everything that requires labor. And all these excuses abound. You know what? It's really, really hot outside. I can't work. It's too hot. If I got an outside job, it's too hot outside. You think about concerning the agricultural society that that Israel was and everything, they had to work outside. We didn't have the indoor jobs whereby, hey, we're working in the air conditioning. It's comfortable and all that. No, they had to work outside. And they frightened themselves from real duties by imaginary difficulties. There's a lion in the streets, Proverbs 22:13. I might be killed as a result. The open square, there's a lion in the open square, chapter 26, verse 13. So all these excuses whereby I just can't work, this irrational fear. Isn't it interesting concerning the lion that is mentioned there? Because who is also mentioned as being like a roaring lion? Who is that? The devil. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking who may devour. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. And he's seeking to devour us. And here's the devil. Basically in the bed with him and from his own slothfulness, which kills him. He's unmotivated. He's making excuses for his behavior. You look on ants. They're going to use what they have, the talents, without a ruler. Chapter 6 and verse 7. You notice concerning the ant there, it mentions that having no chief, officer or ruler. No, basically superintendent, nobody telling him what to do. He instinctively works hard without anyone telling him. You're sluggard, being told, you need to do this, you need to do that, and, oh, I'm not going to do it. The sluggard needs to learn from the ant to be a self-starter, to have initiative, to have desire to do what is right, to work hard. Here you look upon the ant and he's not told what to do. You look on the sluggard, he's goofing off. In chapter 24, in Proverbs chapter 24, in verse 30, the scripture says, I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflect upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. Here you look at their field, the weeds and the thistles, the thorns and the broken wall. Here's poverty coming speedily to him like a victim, unprepared for that armed man overpowering him. He is not prepared for that to happen. He just expects everything is just going to continue the way it was. He's not prepared to resist the poverty that's going to come because of his inactivity. You look upon it concerning how all these things coming together, laziness and negligence, half-heartedness. And the whole thing is that what is the end result of that? Well, you know, I'm happy and I'm content and with what I am and what I'm doing or not doing. But the end, it leads to ruin and decay and destruction in the end. So what does he do? In Proverbs chapter 10. In Proverbs chapter 10. Here you think about the pain that others suffer because of his laziness. Think about an employer that employs him or somebody else. You know, you tell a lazy person, tell the sluggard what to do. In chapter 10, verse 26, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. Well, is that a pleasant thing, vinegar to the teeth, smoke in the eyes? Well, obviously not. He is undependable, unreliable. And it's a pain to those who have to endure through that, who have to deal with the sluggard, who goofs off and is poor. And so in chapter 18 and verse 9, Solomon again says by inspiration, he also who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. Slack. You're going to destroy others. You think about those who influence. Well, why are you working so hard? I can think about there was a short period of time where I think I was worked for like 30 days. You think about those short-term jobs. And, you know, they're not fun jobs. They're working, you're working out in the 95-degree heat or 100-degree heat. And I remember it seemed like the early 90s, like 325. It's a minimum wage job. And you know what? We just need to go slow because we need this job to last. If we're here up and get this job done, then, you know, what are we going to do tomorrow? Instead of recognizing, hey, no, we need to work hard. That's our responsibility. That's what we need to do. But that's what some will say. And so you see that this influence, let's just dial it back because you might be the persecuted one because you want to work hard. You want to do what's right. In chapter 21, in verse 25, the desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. And so what is he going to be? He's going to be at the mercy of others, isn't he? He's going to be at the mercy of others. He's going to beg or borrow whatever he can do to get from others. And so this can become a lifestyle as a result. Instead, you look at the end. He stores up provision for the harvest while the sluggard is begging. You think about if the ant without a ruler or supervisor, and he's industrious, that should rouse the sluggard. This is what God is trying to teach the sluggard. You need to look at the ant. Ants, you know, just trying to get my food. You look upon, you know, you go on a picnic and everything. And here are the ants going after your food, right? That's all you maybe think about. But obviously God wants us to see how hardworking they are. Yes. In Proverbs 10, verse 4 and 5, poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps and harvests is a son who acts shamefully. The sluggard and the ant. We must learn wisdom from the ants. We must be active in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul speaking to the Ephesian brethren. You know, the days are evil. And so here's a slothful person. He's wasting his time. He's not active. Ephesians 5 verse 15. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Notice as you look upon the principle there, the book of Proverbs, you know, the unwise and the wise, the foolish and those who are wise and using God's wisdom. He said, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Actively use your time for good. Evil is bidding for your time. Bidding your time is concerning wasting, concerning the time that you have. You have responsibilities. Fulfill those responsibilities. Well, those responsibilities aren't fun. I'm not saying, you know, you can't vacation or things like that. You know, you look in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon writes about that in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. Enjoy your time. But you do have responsibilities. Fulfill them for good, especially as you look upon God's work. To the work. We are servants of God. Well, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the Thessalonian brethren are good brethren. But they think the day of the Lord has already come. They receive this letter as if the day of the Lord has already come. And so what are we going to do? Well, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul told them, withdraw from brethren who are walking disorderly. They're not walking. In verse 7, they're not working here. Verse 7, you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship. What did we do? They were like the ants, right? We kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to do this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would follow our example. For even when we're with you, we used to give you this order: if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. Well, that's not taught very much in our society anymore. You don't work you shouldn't eat. And obviously, we're talking about those who are able to work. But you know what? It can be with a slothful person that he hasn't worked in so long that he may be physically incapable of working. But if he starts moving and being active, yes, he can again. And he continues and he said, "We hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command, exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and to eat their own bread." There are some brethren that were doing what was right and some weren't. "As for you, brethren, don't grow weary of doing good." Here are those who are doing good, those who are doing right, those who are being like the ants. And then there were others who were being like the sluggards, who are being idle in the Lord's vineyard. We can't do that. We need to actively use our time for good. In Hebrews chapter 6, there were brethren that were being lax in their service unto God. They were suffering through persecution. They were desiring to go back and under the law of Moses, and whereby, hey, suffering for Christ, for persecution, they had to be reminded concerning all that Christ had done, that Christ is better, the theme of the book of Hebrews. And many good examples from those who were like the ants, that were working hard, who were enduring through unimaginable suffering. In Hebrews chapter 11, as recorded, in Hebrews 6 and verses 11 and 12, he said, "We desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of a hope until the end, so that you will not be what? Sluggish, like the sluggard, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Use your time in the Lord's service. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. Haven't we heard that before? Think about concerning the time. Evil. Evil is bidding for your time. Use it for good. Use it in the Lord's service. This is what we need to be doing, like the faithful of old. We'll never quit. We are going to reap what we have sown. You think about the sluggard again, that picture. He's too lazy to feed himself physically. So you think he's going to take time to feed his soul with Scripture? To take time to do that? Because we recognize concerning, hey, you know what? We can be working hard. Oh, that's a good thing. Here working hard, but here, what about our soul? We need to feed our soul too. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We've got to eat to live physically, don't we? Well, we've got to eat to live spiritually also. What is our main goal and desire? What is our aim in life? So I don't know what my aim is in life. So what's going to happen? I'm going to kind of just drift to whatever is going on in the world, or whatever pleases me in my flesh. If it feels good, do it. Like Brett had mentioned in the Bible class this morning, just concerning whatever I want, whatever I feel. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? For righteousness. They shall be filled. They shall be satisfied." That is the only thing that's going to satisfy your soul. Remember who is writing here. Solomon, writing by inspiration. When he's old, he drifts away. 700 wives and 300 concubines, and satisfying his flesh, and it never satisfied him. It never did. We recognize concerning the diligence that we should have for doing God's will. The old King James would say, "Study." Almost all the other modern translations would say, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved unto God as a workman." What? As a what? Sluggard? No, as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. That's going to take time and effort and energy and being active to learn the will of God. Is it possible to know the will of God? Some will say, no, you got to depend upon the clergy because, you know, it's too difficult to understand. You just depend upon the clergy and they'll interpret everything for you. No, God forbid, you should be responsible and examining what I say by the Scriptures. We're going to reap what we have sown in the end. In Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul, writing to the brethren at Galatia. He said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. The sluggard thinks he's going to make a fool out of God. But I'm going to just be able to get by with my lazy ways, and I'm still going to go to heaven in the end. No, whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. The one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Recognizing that, we don't want to be like the sluggard. Times get tough, and we're like, man, the sluggard, they look like they've got it made in the shade. I think I'll quit. What good does it do to work hard for the Lord? I don't see the benefit. I don't see the results right now. But you will. So let us not lose heart in doing good. For we will reap if we do not grow weary. If we do not lose heart, so as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those who are the household of the faith. Let us not give up like the ants didn't give up. You look at the talents, and you look upon the one talent individual. You can almost put in there, in a way, concerning the sluggard. Here, I've only got one talent. I don't have much. So what I'll do is I'll bury it. Here you have it. I give back what is yours, Lord. Surely he's going to be happy with that because I gave it back to him, right? Wrong. In Matthew chapter 25, remember what Jesus said? In Matthew chapter 25. Here's the way he looked upon his Lord. Verse 24. The one who had also received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow. We read that passage, didn't we? Galatians 6, 7 through 10. You're a hard man, gathering where you scattered no seed. Verse 25. I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. I was afraid. Oh, come on right into heaven. Oh, No, you wicked, lazy slave, the master said. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. You ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has ten talents. That's not fair. The five talent and two talents, they've got more talents than I do. And you're going to give it to the one who has 10 talents? That's not fair. That's not just, that's not right. We look upon concerning God, what God is wanting to spend. He wants us to use whatever talent we have. And you know what that tells us is that every one of us has at least one talent. I mean, I think I have two or five talents, but we have at least one talent. And God expects us to use it and not be like the sluggard and be lazy. Because as he continues here, he said, verse 29, well, what if a person has two or five talents? You know, God expects more if you have two or five talents. See, if I'm going to say, okay, only one talent. No, you use it. If you have two and five talents, use that. He said in verse 29, to everyone who has more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness in that place. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Worthless slave, didn't use what God had given him. Oh, but to say here as you look upon, I read that and everything, but I have my excuse. I just can't do it. I just can't. The Bereans, Acts chapter 17, verse 11. You can do it. You can know the scriptures. You can know if the preacher is teaching error or not. And you need to encourage you to do that because almost every place that you hear, whether on the radio or on TV, they're not going to tell you to do that. Why? Why'd they do that? Because generally they're going to tell you what you want to hear rather than what the Word of God says. Because when you look at the Word of God says, there's expectations of the Lord upon each and every one of us. There's a song in our songbook, this what says, we depend upon you. I had it in my mind. Can he depend upon you? That's what it was. Can he depend on you? Can he? Can the Lord depend upon you to do his will? Or are we going to be like the sluggard? Or are we going to be like those who made excuse in Luke chapter 14? Here you have this big feast. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Oh, sure. We're going to come to the physical feast and we're going to enjoy that. You're going to preach the Bible? I'm not interested in that. Oh, I'll come for the food and fun and frolic, as you think about many denominations will offer that. They're going to offer you the spiritual feast, the words of eternal life. Here's what happens and what generally happens when the Word of God is preached here in chapter 14 to the replace. In chapter 14, all things are ready. Come to the feast. Verse 18, what is the response? They all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I bought a piece of land. I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Really? We make that excuse concerning that. I need to look at that instead of going to the services, the words of the feast, the words of eternal life. And as he continues here, he says, verse 19, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. I bought these. I'm going to take care of that. See, there's precedence of one thing over another. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. No, but I want to try out my oxen here. Verse 19. Verse 20, another one said, I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come. You think about how many get married on Saturday night, and so I'm enjoying my time with my spouse and not going to services. And consider me excused. Again, these are excuses that are given. The slave came and told the masters, and the head of the household was angry. He said, go out in the streets and lanes of the city, bring in here the poor and crippled and blind and lame. They're not going to make the excuses, are they? Master, what you have commanded has been done. There's still more room. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and to compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. This is the invitation in general that the Lord gives. And when you're ignored concerning that you invite people to study the Bible or to come to services, you shouldn't be surprised. This is generally, I've got this or that to do. I'm working all the time on Sunday. I just can't make it. And many do work on Sunday. Need to try to set precedence as far as seeking first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And you'll have the necessities of life. Talents must be used in the Lord's service. We can't bury them. Make excuses to the Lord in the end. Think about learning wisdom from the end. Do you know about storing up for yourself? What are you storing up for yourself? Well, he's just storing up for himself concerning that turning on the bed, right? Lazy, selfish desires. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20, Jesus said these words. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20. Jesus said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You can know what your treasure is. What are you seeking after? Are you seeking after earthly things, earthly treasures, or heavenly treasures? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, you think about it compared to the rest of the world, we are rich. We are rich in this present world when we compare with the rest of the world. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. So many are doing that. They're conceited. Even the sluggard mentioned concerning how conceited they are, thinking their way of life is going to be the way that is good. Those who trust in riches and fix their hope on that, is that going to last? No, it's not going to last. Going to have to give it up in the end. Don't focus on that, but focus on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Verse 18, instruct them to do good, to be rich in what? Rich in good works. We have received all the spiritual blessings in Christ. We can receive the forgiveness of sins even though we don't deserve it. We can't earn it. Here we've been forgiven of all of our sins and the hope of eternal life. Why would we serve Him and love Him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves? Why wouldn't we do that? To be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. You think about the sluggard is going to be generous and ready to share? No, he's always taking. He's not giving. And he continues and said, verse 19, what are they storing up? Storing up for themselves a treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Well, wait a minute. Life indeed. Life is here. I can see all these things. One of these days, though, the earth and its works are going to be burned up. What is your treasure going to matter then? When everything is burned up, use what you have to God's glory. Store for yourselves treasures in heaven, not here upon this earth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I want you to notice concerning the apostles. Notice the humility and the servants of the Lord in asking the individuals, you know us. We worked hard night and day. Were we a burden to any of you? Were we? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 17, certainly I have not taken advantage of you through any of those whom I have sent to you, have I? I urged Titus to go and sent the brother with him. Titus did not take advantage of you, did he? Did we not conduct ourselves in the same spirit and walk in the same steps? You think about those who take advantage of other people's kindness. Well, because you're a religious person, well, you're supposed to be a Christian, so you've got to help me and just be demanding about that. When you look upon certain individuals and so on, taking advantage of people's kindness. You look upon those who are Christians, they didn't do that in the first century. And they would even ask a question, have we been a burden to anyone? We are sharing with others. That isn't recognized concerning sometimes where you might need help from others. Obviously, you look upon those who are needy saints, but this has become a lifestyle, and the whole thing is concerning the motives of individuals. And sometimes that's difficult, but to recognize concerning, we want to be able to share our blessings with others, if at all possible. Help needy saints. Most importantly, preaching them the gospel of Christ, teaching them so that they might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The same joy that we have to share with them. And so sometimes opportunities are there to do good to all people, and especially those in the household of the faith. Concerning out of the church treasury, only help needy saints. We might have individuals that come, and expectation is that, every quote-unquote church has a fund for it. No, we are restricted by the scriptures as far as from the church treasury to help only needy saints. The pattern in the New Testament, as an individual concerning in our neighbor or our community, that we can have opportunities to help other people and teach them the truth. Speak the truth in love to them so that their souls might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God is going to know their motives. They're doing it with the wrong intentions. And the whole thing is concerning that we want to help those who are seeking for the truth of God's word. We want to be like the ant, not like the sluggard. So which of you are? Are you like the ant or the sluggard? Are you sluggish or are you active in the Lord's service? Are you lethargic or are you persevering in good works? Are you making excuses or are you using your talents for God? Examine yourselves. Because you have to respond to the Lord, not to me. So I'm going to respond to the preacher concerning this. This is God's word. We're all going to be judged by His words. Are you storing up earthly treasures for yourself or in heaven by sharing what you have? Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Here's how you have faith. You examine the life of Christ. The miracles, wonders, and signs confirm that Jesus is who he said he is. He is the Son of God. You look at all the eyewitness testimony. You see the fulfillment of prophecy in Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. He ascended into heaven, and he's going to return back in the same way. Are you ready for that day to come? You believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. He said, unless you repent, you all likewise perish. We need to change our will for God's will. We can't continue in sinful ways. Be like the sluggard and expect, oh, well, God's just going to let me in. He's going to let me have eternal life. No, we need to be willing to change our will for God's will. Confess Jesus before men. Jesus said, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. And then we've got to die to that old man of sin. How do we do that? We do that when we're buried with Christ in baptism. Romans chapter 6 is studied in our Bible class this morning. We die to that old man of sin. We bury him. We rise to walk in newness of life. Just as the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. We're immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. We can go on our way rejoicing even this morning. You come forward this morning. You confess Jesus Christ, Son of God. Make that good confession, and we'll baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. Or, as a Christian, you've been the sluggard. And you recognize that. You can't be restored back to the fold, but if you continue in your sins, eventually you're going to reap what you have sown. Maybe you're not suffering now, but Jesus came to save us from the wrath to come. Why not be restored? Repent and pray, as Simon the Sorcerer did in Acts chapter 8. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, judgment day is coming. Don't delay. God calls. We encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing. Psalm